Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor. Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swamp.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Schkelly. Aldi. Million. Rumli.
Tribe spoke.
Scheibe Tottenham.
Ship.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. I'm your host Shannon Guss here for another deep dive, another post-season interview. We are rounding up final three this week. Mike spoke to Nicole on her winning game. We spoke to Chappies through his game. And now we have the runner-up. It is someone that we saw a lot of the highs, we saw a lot of the lows, there were questions asked, and we're going to get to the bottom of all of it. It is the great Anela Smash-Majozi. Anela, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Shan.
Yeah, I'm excited because we were just talking before the call about how you were the first preseason interview we had, first in the alphabet for us. You started our whole journey, and here we are now talking through your whole game, and you made it to the very end.
It's all come full circle, you know, so I can't think of a better way to be capping off this beautiful experience than to be chatting to you guys. Huge, huge fan of the podcast, and I've been loving listening to you guys this season.
Thank you. No, we appreciate it. I mean, look, you gave us a lot to talk about at different times. We definitely, you know, seen different points in your game. Yeah, we were just talking before the call about that first interview, and we said, what was it? You said you wanted to be a villain, and we didn't really see it. I don't know that you were villainous. I feel that you definitely stole food. You made some moves. I still didn't really see the villain in it, though.
I think naturally I had like one or two reference points before doing the show, one of which was Russell Hands.
Ironic.
But I wasn't that big of a sort of fan of the show before doing it. So the references that I got was it was Russell and it was, you know, sort of Rob and I think Boston Rob as well. And I think having watched all three of those seasons, I just naturally gravitated towards the villainous side or sort of the way that they played, particularly Russell. So that's why I kind of was like, okay, well, if I'm going to play anything that's outside of the, you know, the individual that is Anela, you know, outside of the game, then I definitely want to play someone who will be devious, who will be sort of conniving, etc., etc. Like that sort of game appealed to me as a fan, or as a viewer. So that's sort of how I wanted to try to mirror my game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that worked. You gave us a lot to talk about in terms of that. They both are players who have come second, so you follow the lineage there. Maybe necessarily they were the wrong people to be looking after in that way, but it worked out. That's what happens. So much from that early interview. We were also saying before the call, you've confirmed now that the friend you are is a Joey. Because for those who don't remember, 5 months ago in your interview, when you said you were like all the friends and we were like, pick a friend, and you've officially picked Joey as the friend you are most like.
Yeah, no, I think when I had made that sort of comment, I kind of was just like, you know, I see bits of myself in everyone, which I think anyone who's a fan of the show can relate to a lot of what they do. But yeah, if I had to say that I'm one, you know, like you said, Joey doesn't share food, Smash steals food. So
yes.
I consider myself a Joey.
Yeah, you didn't know that your answers were just going to be like ripped into by two people on a podcast, just like looking for anything to, you know, find holes in. And I'd love to talk about that because I would love to know about your fandom before the show. As you're saying, you watched a couple of seasons, you've gotten into it very much since being on it. But what was your fandom? How much did you know about the show before you were on it? And what led you to applying?
Okay, so when it comes to like my fandom and stuff, I wasn't like particularly an avid watcher of this season. Like, I knew about the show. I was aware that like Rob had sort of won last season, but I actually had to go back and sort of watch that season. So I was, you know, even season seven here in SA wasn't a season that I particularly watched when it was airing. I'll touch on to how I got onto actually auditioning to the show, but sort of somewhere midway in during that whole process when it started like materializing and it's like, okay, this is something that could actually be happening for me. I then sort of went back. I did my homework and I tried to get in as much as I could, but not just optically by watching seasons, which I think probably would have helped me more. But like I use sort of YouTube, you know, sort of I watched a lot of YouTube videos and clips on like who are the best to ever play the game, things to look, things to do and not do, you know, when you start off. So like make sure you're seen and don't walk around. Don't be that first person to leave the tribe on day one. Don't put your hand up unnecessarily to cook or make fire. Like those things, I got a natural sense of how I wanted to at least start the game from doing the homework. What actually brought me onto doing it was a couple of mates of mine here in South Africa have a podcast of theirs, which is doing quite well and it's growing. And last year or the year before, 2019, they had interviewed Rob. And after they interviewed Rob, we were just grabbing a couple of beers and they were like, mate, in terms of just conversation and stuff and how you carry yourself, I reminded them of him. I obviously didn't make much of that reference because I didn't know Rob, you know, so I just took that. Yeah, I really appreciate it now that I know, you know, what he's about and everything. I took that for what it was, but then sort of like a few weeks or so down the line, an opportunity for me sort of came to go and study across in Wales, which is actually what I'm going to be doing now in October. And I just thought to myself, okay, wait, this could be like feature. Like what if I did this show, won the R1 million and then was able to, you know, finance my own sort of studies? Because obviously, you know, like if however best way I could, I would have wanted to take that pressure off of my mother. And at the time, like, you know, we applied for bursary, got a bit of a bursary, like I think it was like 15%. But yeah, you know, from rands to pounds is very steep. So it just sort of seemed like the story was too perfect. So I don't know. I had the picture in my head that, okay, I would effectively get on the show, shoot it. I think it was in May or whatever. And then in September, which is when school starts in the UK, boom, I would like be this millionaire. And not for nothing, but I think that mentality got me through the rounds of the show and got me through the audition rounds. And I think actually got me through making it as far as I did, because, you know, I take nothing away from any contender. I think everyone plays to win, but I really felt like from day one, I was playing for, you know, I was like, okay, I've got my studying, I've got my future on the line here. So I need to play, you know?
Mm. So you said that really helped you in your audition. Like what else do you feel was propelling you? You're, you know, first time applicant, haven't really seen the show much and you get through, like that's amazing. So what do you feel really grabbed production about what you were bringing?
Thankfully, actually, Albie sort of gave me an insight to this after we wrapped up the finale. But I think what they gravitated towards was just that self-confidence. Like I was so certain that I was going to win this. I mean, a lot of my sort of approach when I was being, you know, sort of when I was going through the application process was very similar to some of the sentiments that Chappie shared, where, you know, he was like, this is his to lose. Like this is what we all just watching him win. And I don't think I said it as eloquently as that, but I was very, very confident and as to where I saw myself finishing. I can remember when Andre sort of came, because he was the producer that came to see me for the home visits and everything. You know, this apartment that I live with my twin sister, there's not a whole lot here. And he asked me to show him something that best symbolizes who I am as an individual. And I showed him my vision board in my room, where I'd already written this season 8 survivor winner, which I think he really believed me when I said it because it was the truth. But I'd wrote that after the very first video that I wrote, like that I sent in my application. I said, listen, this has been on my board since that day. Like the minute I decided to actually go forward with this, I knew exactly where I wanted to get up to, you know?
Mm. Well, between speaking to you and Chappies who have expressed similar sentiments, like, I want to start manifesting stuff. Like, you guys really got it done, got on the show, both made the final three, and I think you both had that mentality. I feel like that's something that I want to start incorporating into my life, because that carries you through onto the show, as we're saying, and you've done some prep for it, as you've said, with watching some of the old seasons, a lot of the runner-ups, which is going to become painfully ironic, I guess. And you get onto Zumba, and you are going to be Zumba personified. You are on Zumba for the entire pre-merge, the only person that is true of. And I'd love to get a sense of your early relationships. We see this majority with the girls and with Rainier. What were your very early bonds looking like in the game?
Right, so right on the onset, I think the two individuals that naturally gravitated towards me easiest was Rainier and Jason. And, you know, that was just sort of, Rainier was a, before being an engineer, he was a, you know, he was a rugby referee, and Jason went to, you know, one of the top all boys schools, which I went to a different one, but like a rival school. So we naturally just like off on the onset, those were my two good relationships. In terms of playing the game with individuals, I sort of made that early commitment to play with Rainier and Amy, who I thought would be two individuals that would, without a shadow of a doubt, could make it all the way to the final with me, but also would have no reason to necessarily want to vote me out or blindside me. So those were going to be my two from the jump. And yeah, so, you know, so Amy put a target on Sean's back by saying he had the bulge, and we think, you know, he might have the hidden idol. And then Sean put that target back by approaching Jason and saying we need to go for Amy. Yeah. So in that whole moment, in that whole sort of scenario, like, almost as soon as I had that conversation with Jason, you'll see Rainier sort of go back, and then he starts to sit down with Jason. You know, like almost instantaneously after that, I was sowing that seed of doubt with Amy about the fact that Jason and Sean might be gunning for it. So I wasn't surprised when at the very end of it, it came full circle when they were kind of letting me know that they were going to do the plan. But I was a lot more okay with it than what sort of was optically seen, because although Jason and I were close, the only two people I was committed to playing with at the time was Amy and Rainier in those early days.
Mm. I mean, it's something you talk about in your final tribal council, the idea of having like these two strong allies and having a bit of a shield there as well, and then maybe more fluid relationships around it. Was that your mentality the whole time? And when did you kind of come up with that being your social plan?
Again, I think that was something that I think I gauged from the how-to manuals on YouTube. I don't think I watched enough seasons to get an essence of that. But like when I was researching and stuff, I got a good sense that if it is a final three and stuff, you know, to ride it all the way to there, like you kind of want to be with people that you genuinely believe you could make a case for over and above them, but also, you know, are strong in their own regard and would have no real reason to want to sort of betray you. And I've got a very good sense of that with Amy and Rainier. And then in terms of the mercurial player, the ones that are going to be the shield, the diamonds or the rubble sometimes, that, you know, from the onset was Dino. And I think it's so unfortunate because, you know, he put that sort of target on himself, maybe unwillingly. I'm not too sure. Obviously, no one would have wanted to just put that target on themselves. But I mean, he was such a lovely guy. And I've had this conversation with him. Like, you know, I was that one idiot that didn't bring any sort of jacket or anything. So I think in day two or three, it was just pouring down with rain. We'd all just been sleeping in rain for like 2 days straight now. He gave me his jacket off of his back, and I got to sleep the first night with a warm jacket. And I still just had to keep that target that was already on his back on him. So like the very next day, I would go up to everyone and be like, I don't know if this was coming from a genuine place. And what do you guys think of this guy? You know, I almost downplayed just him lending me the jacket. And, you know, he's such a nice guy. But, like, he was, for me, my shield. Like, I was just like, okay, as long as I can just keep this target on this guy, then, you know, that's going to definitely buy me some time. So he was my Mercurial player sort of then. Obviously, then it sort of changed once we had that first tribe swap.
And in a relationship that I am so interested in is Sean, who is so on the outs that we see from the beginning. And then you obviously become so close, as we see at the very end, in the way that he advocates for you. So we see a little bit of that happening before the swap happens. But can you talk about how that bond progressed?
Yeah, look, let me just say absolute shout out to Sean, my one and only vote.
He loves you, though. Like, that vote was worth a lot.
I love the guy to bits. You know, the thing is, for me, on day one, you know, he was the guy with his shirt off, a little bit too much energy, you know, giving it back when, like, Nico would ask Chappies a question, then he would make a comment. So already I was just like, oh, this is going to be a loose cannon. This is not going to be my kind of guy. I got a sense that he might be volatile. But as the game went on and, you know, this sort of started coming around just before the first tribe swap, you started seeing, I started seeing a completely different side to him. It was like, now in this situation, he shouldered everything. So he was like, okay, I'll be the one to make the fire. I'll be the one to step up and do this and that. And that got deeper as the game went deeper. Like, he became even more paternal in nature. I think naturally just sort of gravitated to how genuine he was as a person. Like, you know, like I got a sense that, you know, like, this is someone who is going to be really good at the game and is good at the game, but he's just playing with such loyalty and honesty that this is definitely someone I could work with and would want to work with. Yeah. So it just naturally just grew. And I'm very grateful for having met someone like Sean.
Yeah. You're going to swap with him onto the next tribe. But in this first tribe, you only go to one tribal council. You are in a position that we see of power. Where do you think the vote would have gone next had there not been a swap to get to the next tribe?
100%. Okay. Let me not say 100%, but I feel as though it would have gone to Dino. Again, like you said, I was in a bit of a position of power and there was a overwhelming sense of, like, distrust in the way he was moving at the time. You know, I think he's very fortunate that he had that idol to play that very first day, because he probably would have been the first boot had he not. I think had there not been any swaps, he might have been the next to go.
I mean, we see it as like chaos. Like, you know, we're speaking more to Vuna than Zamba in these deep dives. We have had the exits though, but like, was that Jason vote as we witnessed it as being like, you know, we had like Sean and Keon on the outs, we had like the Dino chaos going on, and then it turns in on Jason, and you kind of described the way that you let that happen because it was being driven by him targeting a main ally for you. But it really looked to us like Zamba, if had it been allowed to play out, like for a tribe that was going to become very stable and, you know, really run a lot of the pre-merge, like it looked really chaotic.
No, it was. And I think that's what sort of just completely shocked, you know, the likes of myself and Rania, because, you know, Sean and Keon naturally sort of put themselves on the outs by, you know, cleaning out the food or whatever they call it, looking for idols on that very first day. So they were away there, you know, unnecessarily taking the fruits out of the baskets and cleaning it or whatever and separating it. So we were all stood there, the rest of us, Dino included, and we were kind of just like, okay, guys, you know, none of us know each other. At the, you know, at the very least, we can just agree that these two, because they have already sort of separated themselves, these would be the guys that we just go for. Everyone was sort of on board with that, you know. I'm not too sure who necessarily drove that conversation, but it was like, you know, it was a general consensus. Then, you know, then as the days went on, sort of, I think Dino sort of fell a little bit further down the pecking order. But we had a good thing as seven, and literally like the day of the first tribal council, Jason just does a complete one, like complete, would it be 180 or 360? Oof, I should know this.
180, I guess. Yeah.
does a complete 180, yeah. And he's now saying, listen, I've spoken to Sean. I want to work with him. I think we should go for, Amy, which was just like ludicrous, you know, like it just didn't make sense, you know? And I tried to talk him out of it. Then he sat with Rania, and I get a sense that Rania also tried to talk him out of it. But, like, yeah, that was just already, like, too volatile. So it kind of just turned on him, I think, so wanting to make those moves too early. But, you know, we did have a good thing going before he came to us with all these stories, like, before that first council. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not going to get any less chaotic because the swap to the second Zamba tribe was somehow, like, worse, and there was so much going on. What were the new relationships like? Because you are going to get some votes in the first tribal council, but Vuna will split down the middle and work with you, Chappie, Santini, and Paul. Were those real relationships you were making, or you feel that it was just mostly working out with the numbers?
So, interestingly enough, like, you know, Sean had sort of put the target on Amy had sort of put the target on Sean. So, like, I just remember us sort of having a conversation, all three of us saying, like, listen, if we are going to have any chance of surviving this, we need to be lockstep. Like, we need to move as one. We need to package ourselves as that we come as three. And that was difficult because most of the time I had Amy saying, I can't trust Sean, and I had Sean telling me, you can't trust Amy. To balance that and to manage that was also proved to be difficult at times. But we had to make sure that we were singing from the same hymn sheet, which I think we did really well. And initially, so I know Paul. Like, Paul went to the same high school as me, and where I coach rugby now, he's one of the players in one of the senior sides.
What's happening with this class? You know, like, yeah, we have heard some of that, but it is just ridiculous. Like, South Africa is not that small.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe it. Like, what are the chances that, I mean, I was so surprised when I saw him, like, stood there next to me, that someone that I went to school with and is still very much in my life in the sense that I see him every single, you know, weeknight and Saturday at a rugby fixture.
Wow.
Is also in this game. So, yeah, that was cool. But, yeah, so I wanted to actually work with them. But the other two, Sean and Amy, had a better feeling with Carla Warda and Mike. So I was happy to follow suit and to follow their suit with that. And not for nothing, like, we 100% would have gone. Let me not say 100%. I keep saying that. I get a feeling that we would have been happy to go with that side of the faction. If Mike and Carla were sort of on the same page, because, you know, in Mike's episode where, you know, he sort of is a bit more reluctant to working with us and he's more quiet and reserved, he's kind of, you know, his view on it was like, listen, we're just eating up everything Carla's saying, but we're not going to work with them. But when we actually spoke to each other as a three, it was more like, okay, well, we like what Carla was selling, but this guy that's being quieter, you know, who seems very dismissive of, like, what's being said, that was actually what sort of threw us off. So then, you know, we were just like, okay, this isn't a good vibe, or the vibe that we initially thought that we were going to have with them. And it just made the decision to go with Chappie's, Santini, and Paul that much easier. Like, I was happy with that anyway. But, yeah, I can remember Amy sort of coming up to myself and Sean saying, guys, I think the better play is to go with Chappies and them. And I was like, okay, happy.
Yeah, I mean, something that's going to happen here is the other person in that group is Warda, and you're going to get some votes, as we said, based on the way that it splits and kind of the Chappies contingent becoming a bit of a swing in these, like, three voting factions that we have. How does it get, we see how it's going to go. We see where it's getting. Where is that initial fracture coming from?
Yeah, look, it was very interesting. Again, I'm happy to put my hand up and sort of say maybe it was an ego thing, but I definitely didn't put it forward in that way. But I kind of, you know, when we got back after they did vote for me and Mike went out, I kind of said to Carla and Wada, and in the nicest way possible, I was like, girls, listen, it's no hard feelings. Like, we were on the other side of the thing. But, you know, moving forward, I'm like going to be working with the people I just worked with, you know. And again, maybe this is from a lack of know-how and how the game sort of works and stuff. But, you know, you don't want to close anyone off to working with them in the future, because you never know what's going to happen. But I think maybe that's where I put my foot in my mouth by saying, listen, guys, it really is no hard feelings. Like, I would always share the sentiments of like all these conversations that we've been having, you know, about personal life. And, you know, Carla, you telling me about, you know, your twin sister, what are you telling me about your children and what you cook and stuff like that? That stuff is genuine. And I really am happy to continue doing, like, chatting to you guys like that and doing the yoga meditation classes with you, Wada. But please understand that this is now the side where I find myself on. And I think at the time I didn't have that grasp of like how fluid you need to be at in the game, or flexible. But yeah, I mean, you do get a sense of that in just the way I reply to her in those tribal councils. Like, you know, she would make a comment and I wouldn't necessarily throw anything back in her face. I just kind of, you know, like, kept a calm head about the whole situation, because I understood it as, or I at least saw it as, this is a game. We just happen to find ourselves on different sides of this game, but go hard at it. Go hard at me. I'm going to go hard at you. And at the end of it, we shake hands, you know?
Yeah. It didn't feel like a very like shaky, handy type of thing later on. Like, it felt like, yeah, it got to a bit of a toxic place. So probably like a miscommunication there, that just like the wedge was just being completely driven from there. And something else that's going to happen early on in the swap is that you will steal the future life bars, which I feel like started off a theme possibly beyond your wildest imaginations. Like, can you talk a little bit about like you and Sean getting up to some mischief here with the sponsors?
Oh, that was good fun. Eh? I mean, so, you know, effectively Sean and I, you know, I think we had like a brief sort of conversation where we were like, you know, with these new people, if there is anything to be won, we make sure we get our hands on it first. And as soon as we got there, he kind of said to me, he's like, okay, I'm gonna go show them around. You stick around, you see if there's anything that box of future life came with. So right on the jump, he takes them to go see the water wall. And I know Paul was quite reluctant on doing that. I think he had his wits about him. And I just hung back, you know. I think they even thought everyone was actually walking there. And I just hung back. And I couldn't find any idol, but I was just like, you know, flip, I'm here now. No one's around me. Everyone would be none the wiser, you know. So let me pinch, but I didn't want to pinch one because that would look too obvious. So I was like, let me take two chocolate bars here and enjoy them myself. I had a weird feeling that the likes of a Paul and Chappies might be the ones who might be the type to sort of snoop in your bag. So I was just like, it's probably better if I just scuff these down now and eat them right out the jump. Little did I know how much chaos that little thing would actually end up coming to cause, because when Paul was sort of rubbing people the wrong way, you know, the very first thing, like, people were coming up to me saying, Carla, Centurini, Sean, was, we think Paul stole two chocolate bars and we think he maybe gave one to Chappies. And I did nothing to obviously change the process. So, yeah.
Yeah. To the point where, like, even I think it was a Chappies Jury Villa video, they're like asking if he stole the future life bars from like way back when, and it was you that started the theme of the season becoming stealing food for some reason. So that was an interesting thing. And then, you know, Paul is going to go, and as you're saying, like, he was probably putting people offside, but you know him from the real life and you were in on that vote, but you don't vote for him. So other than maybe it just becoming really awkward, I guess, in your day-to-day life that you actually know him, what was your thought process behind that?
So, yeah, for me, I'll be honest with you. I had a really, really tough time just making that vote because our lives are so intertwined. And, you know, like,
oh my gosh, so awkward.
He's someone who is, you know, like, definitely a friend, you know. Like, this is someone I see at least four times in a week.
That is crazy, though. Like, can we just stop down on that? Like, this is a ridiculous thing. Like, you really know Paul.
like, I really know Paul. I mean, when I was in grade 8 in high school, he was, you know, he was like 3 years my senior. And then, you know, so this was someone I also in some ways looked up to whilst I was in school and so on and so forth. So, like, it was really challenging for me. And it was actually Sean, again, you know, probably just another thing that just built our relationship was actually Sean, where I said to him, I was like, listen, I can see you guys are wanting to work with them. I'm happy for you guys to move forward working with them, but I just don't feel comfortable making this work. Like, our lives are so intertwined. Like, this just felt wrong. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, you're damned if I do, damned if I don't, because it would have come out anyway, you know, as it did. So I probably should have just voted with them and appeased everyone. But it was such a difficult decision to make. And yeah, that was, I think, the very first time I actually struggled, you know, in the game, like, or within, like, making a vote from an emotional point of view. But yeah, you know, that vote, it was necessary. I think we wouldn't have made it, you know, 4 more days with the way he was eating. So it was necessary.
You just got, like, entered into an accidental blood versus water with someone you know so well, completely, like, against your will. Like, it's just ridiculous plot point of the season that you guys knew each other so well. So he's going to go and Chappie's remains. And then Carla's going to be the next vote. Now, as you've said, there have been social fractures with Warada and with Carla. Where did you sit on how this should go? Was there any talk about it being Warada instead? Like, I think we see you talking about her cooking. Like, just talk through that thought process.
I definitely saw Carla as the bigger threat. And again, this is... I say that because I had great respect to how she was playing and I thought she was a brilliant social player. I was like, you know, the minute she hits merge and she's with people on the other side, I mean, I can see her just completely devastating this game. So for me, I think Carla was definitely more at the top of that pecking order. But yeah, I definitely feel like it was more individuals like Centurni that were driving those decision-making processes at the time. And I was happy to do that because it best served my game. Like I 100% in that first iteration of, or that second iteration of Zumba, I saw her as the biggest social threat to, or at least the biggest threat to how I was playing the game, because she was just as strong as a social player. I didn't necessarily get that same sense from everyone, but from her, I was like, yeah, this person is playing a really strong social game like myself, you know, and I saw her as a threat. So I was happy when they wanted to kind of go for her before Warda. I don't know that I saw Warda as much of a threat, but she came on to be such a pivotal member in the challenges. You know, she put her hand up in so many of them and she did well. So she definitely had her own strengths, but yeah, I think at the time, Carla was definitely the one that I was more worried about.
Right. Well, the other thing that's going to be important on this tribe is that Chappies will, like, save your life. And I, like, spoke to him about it this week as well, being on either side of that, like, again, strange scenario where there are lifeguards, but I spoke up with Chappies, like, they made the production decision to let Chappies do it. Like, what is that like? What is that experience like? Like, I'm sure that's pretty traumatizing. You're on TV. It's beyond TV. And some, like, a competitor in your game is now, like, tasked with helping you out a lot in that situation.
Yeah, look, first and foremost, I think I have to say thank you, Chappies. I mean, I can't say thank you enough. You know, to sort of remove yourself from the game in that moment, and just help out the way he did. It takes a lot of, I think it takes a lot of strength, and kudos to him. Because like you said, there are lifeguards around, but he assessed the situation. He saw maybe, you know, them to still get into the water, whatever the case might be, might take too long. And he made a judgment call, which effectively really helped me and saved my life. So first and foremost, kudos to him and a lot of respect. But yeah, that whole situation was just, it was a couple missteps on my end. And, you know, when I think it was myself and Dino first, you know, for other tribe in the starting out the gate, I got out to the thing that we untied. Like, I got out to it very easily. But I started holding onto it like a floaty device and just kicking and not really accounting for the fact, and maybe this is because of how little I do actually swim, but not accounting for the fact that, you know, the current was quite strong and everything, and probably four limbs are better than two. So I was just kicking as much as I could and just going nowhere but sideways until kicking was no longer an option. Like my legs just gave way. And then it was just a matter of like, I was just holding on this thing, waiting to be saved. I won't lie. I mean, I didn't see myself getting back on my own. And thankfully, you know, thankfully Chappie's kind of came in. He helped me out. By the time I got out the water, I already had Dino and Kieran sitting at the top there. And, you know, Kieran sort of, he made mention because he was the second to go. He was like, we saw, you know, off of your struggle, like rather grab this thing, throw it, swim towards it, throw it further, swim towards it, throw it further, then swim towards it so that you have all four of your limbs. So definitely a misstep. But yeah, I was all right in all the other swimming challenges, thankfully. Yeah, almost led one, but then I kept tripping off it in that final five challenge.
I mean, yeah, that was you did do well to the point where Chappies wants to like vote you out for the reason that you're doing well in some of those like big swimming obstacle course challenges. This was just like, as you said, rough day, weird kind of mechanism with it. Weird situation all around with Chappies saving you. But again, like good job to Chappies for that. And it is going to take you to the third iteration of Zumba, which is a tribe that will go to tribal council both times, but you never actually do. And you credit this in your final tribal council about how key those relationships were with, for example, a Rainier and probably, you know, an Amy and Sean who kept sending you to Immunity Island. Did you feel very confident in that? Because I guess like we talked about at the time, we're like, wow, this is so close that they are willing to put other people off and really show that connection because you were so imperative to their game. Did you ever doubt that that would happen or you felt confident about it?
I've got to be honest with you. Like I had no doubts in my mind that they would, that, you know, the majority of the people that were on that other side would look to save me over, let's say, Dino or Keon, which again, you know, says something about the relationships that I try to build, you know, in the very first iteration of Zumba. Like, although, yes, I'd only committed to playing with Rania and Amy, that allowed for me to then just have sort of nice, genuine conversations with Marisha and Nicole. And, you know, with like Nicole, her boyfriend being a rugby player, you know, that was sort of my avenue into sort of building a relationship with her. And with Marisha being into the bodybuilding space and me being a coach and stuff, we naturally gravitated in terms of those conversations. So I knew like I was building really good social capital with everyone. Plus then I also knew that, okay, I have my alliance members in Rainier, Amy and Sean that side. So yeah, I felt very confident that they were going to look to save me.
Yeah. I mean, it ends up being essential and a lot is going to happen at Immunity Island. You're going to lose a vote. You're going to get a whole bunch from OutSurance. You get a vote steal, you get a video from home. So it kind of all starts to like more than cancel each other out. Then it becomes very positive. So talk us through those little trips to Immunity Island and the feelings of that roller coaster.
Sure, yeah. So the first one, obviously, it came with the challenge, which I lost and then had the no vote. But I felt pretty confident that I would be able to sort of is there swearing in this in the podcast? I don't want to.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
I can't think of to sort of bullshit my way out of that. No, and I did. You know, when I got back, I said I had an extrovert, which I suppose spoke
manifested
I spoke
it. Into yeah. Existence. Yeah, there you go. Put it on the dream board.
And the second time round, it was just a completely different experience. You know, everything about that second time was really special to me because having been in Zumba the longest, I've been obviously receiving the least amount of food rewards. You know, it was becoming a very difficult space to be in at Zumba and to sort of be sent by my majority alliance and share in that moment with them, even though I was miles away from where they were, was kind of special, you know. And I was really grateful that they did select me then because
what a day.
And yeah. Then I don't know what came up for me, but I was just like, when I got those travel insurance clues, I was just like, you know, let me hang on to these, because this could be, you know, something I could use later on in the game, which then eventually does happen.
Yeah, I feel like that was underrated, the wild goose chase. Like, we didn't even really talk about it in the finale recap, but it is indicative of kind of what I was talking about in terms of the difference of you and Nicole's game. Like, hers was like the solid, stable game for sure, and yours was like trickery, you know, like sending someone on a wild goose chase. Like, that is really, really fun. And we'll talk about like how that goes getting to the merge. But yeah, very important to hold on to those clues and just send Chappies down a hole, basically, which he will dig to. But another thing that's happening in this third swap tribe is Tyson and Kieran. You spoke about it a bit in Final Tribal Council. Like, that's going to end up being the League of Shadows, these like key long-term relationships. What were those initial bonds like?
So again, like, really, I had a really good sense of my relationship with Kieran and Tyson. It was kind of clear that, listen, if I'm not going to Immunity Island, it's probably going to be me on the chopping block. And I guess them sort of outlining that to me quite clearly also, you know, I was like, no harm, no foul. You know, it's unfortunate that we're seeing each other this late and you've built relationships everywhere else. So I understood where they were coming from. But even in the way that they were able to have that conversation with me and the way I was able to accept that conversation, as well as the fact that, you know, again, they went to Westville Boys, which is a really big rugby school in Durban and you know, like one of my rival schools. So again, it was just like this natural gravitation where it's like, okay, you went there, you know, who coached you then, type of thing. So like, again, it was people that I got a sense that they were willing to work with me and would have loved to have worked with me. It was just that timing wasn't on our side. So once we then get beyond merge and we are forced into that position, it was like, it was easy to sort of then come together when we needed to, because we already sort of had those discussions where it was like, listen, I would have loved to work with you. You seem like the kind of guy I would like to work with. It's just unfortunate that right now, you know, we're only meeting each other this late and this close to merge. So if you don't, you know, if we don't win the challenge or you don't get sent to Immunity Island, it's most likely going to be you, type of thing.
Right. And on the other side of the social spectrum is, again, like, rapidly escalating issue with Warda, where, like, you guys get into it, like, proper, like, you're not even available to be voted for at the Keon vote, and it's, like, all of the heat is on you. You're coming back from the wonderful day, like, basking in the glow of all the things, and it's getting a little toxic. So, like, talk us through what was happening with that.
I mean, yeah, I really didn't understand it because, you know, like, you know, by virtue of the fact that I got sent the previous week as well with the Dina votes, you know, like, I had been away from camp for like a day and a half, you know, and then again away from camp for like a whole day and a half. So I just, you know, I didn't know why they used that opportunity to sort of, you know, slate me or, you know, attack my game when it was like, you know, you've had all this time to sort of fight to keep yourself in the game, you know. And I didn't even have a go at Keon, but then eventually I had to make the point of like, listen, you know, I'm not the one that decided to eat food, you know, away, like, sort of in front of everyone. I'm not the one that, you know, just spent however many days, 14 days with Zumba 1.0 at Vuna. So, you know, I didn't know where the attack was coming from, particularly from Keon's point of view. But I think, again, maybe I worded it wrong by saying, like, listen, I'm not going to be working with Warda. And I think, again, Keon being a fan would have been like, well, you know, that's kind of like a bit rude to say, because you don't know if you're going to need someone and stuff. So I probably punted it, and maybe I probably lit the fuse a bit, but I also didn't know where or why I was getting the smoke in the first place.
Yeah, it was strange because you are immune, you know, like it feels like maybe Keon's jumping on a fracture that she can see, which makes sense when you're on the chopping block. But it's unfortunate for her that like any fracture was again, they couldn't get you out, like you were immune. So I think it probably just shows how dire that situation was from her. But you are going to get to the merge through, you know, a couple of Immunity Island times. So it means you get to the merge with no vote, but also steal a vote. So it's all fine. And let's talk about the wild goose chase. Like, the fun of that, Chappies is going to end up being, you know, with you at the end. But he is also someone who likes to cause chaos. And he becomes, was it like the unwitting recipient of this? Like, we see him walking up to you. Was he going to be the mark anyway, or didn't really matter? Like, how does it happen that you just send Chappies on this wild goose chase?
I wanted it to be anyone, you know? So based on the clues that I had, I initially actually went to the sign at the Osindila sign. And I dug there first and just made sure that before I go and start any of this, you know, I just made sure that there was actually nothing there to be found. So then I was walking towards the water well and I see Sean. And I start telling Sean this. I start explaining it to Sean. I say, listen, I've got these three clues. This is what I want to do with them. I want to send anyone on a wild goose chase. The first clue, I'm looking to put here at the water well. Then he's busy reading the first clue. And like out the corner of his eye, he sees Chappies come there. And, you know, good thinking on his feet. I wouldn't have necessarily played it like this, because I would have still liked to have hit it. But I'm glad because it ends up sending someone on a wild goose chase. Maybe someone might not have seen it had I just hit it. But as soon as he sees him, he kind of holding that first clue says, look at what smashing I just found. And that's sort of what ends up sending Chappies on the wild goose chase. Then it was just a matter of me quickly lying on the bamboo bed that we had and, you know, sneaking in the next one there on the bed or on the shelter. Then the third one was by the skulls. So the only thing we had with skulls was our torches. So I hid them there where we kept the torches. And then that last clue led you to the Osindile tribe, which I had canvassed and checked and everything before sending him on that wild goose chase.
Yeah. Was it just like, cause you were bored? Like, was it just to be having fun? Like, cause I think it is really fun. But, like, is that the strategy of it, of just, this will be fun?
Yeah. I think Alfred says it best in the Batman Joker where he says some people just sit, what? I think he says set fire.
Just burn.
And I literally just wanted to have fun with someone. Like, I just wanted to see someone honestly wasting their time and expending all their energy looking for nothing, but, you know, like, literally at nothing. And it was crazy, not crazy, but it ended up being great in the sense that everyone sort of naturally saw Chappies as the most organic first threat and first post-merge person to leave. But then it just made it worse for him. He made it worse for himself by digging around so hard and everything. And then it was just like, yeah, okay, so we need to go for this guy. Which ultimately, I believe, still was probably the right move and maybe would have broke this game wide open, but yeah, that obviously doesn't end up happening in the end.
Yeah, you guys are all going to pile on Chappies, steal Chappies' vote. It's all you. It kind of feels like there's this like huge force against Chappies to Zumba, and that's not the way that it goes. This is like a huge plan from Vuna, a lot of wheels within wheels. Where do you see your part in this? Because I spoke to like Amy and Rainier about it in the exit of like this was like a demolition job by Vuna. So what were you perceiving about how this would go? Where do you kind of see your part in how poorly this goes basically for Zumba?
Yeah, definitely a big error on my part in what I had to play in that whole vote. Sean had a very strong sense that Tyson was up to something. He wasn't sure what it was, but he said to me, he was like, I think you take away Tyson's votes and you spook him. I think that's what you should do. And again, maybe it was my naivety and that like I had pretty good social games with Kieran and Tyson, not so much about the game per se, but like we would talk about other things unrelated to the game. But I was just like, I have a good sense of how, like who Tyson is as an individual. I don't think he would play that for Chappies. Like, you know, he speaks so strongly about his like dislike towards Chappies at the time and everything. And you could sense that they, you know, that those were two people that just didn't get on that well. And yeah, I mean, kudos to him. That was, I think, one of the most clutch plays I've ever seen because, yeah, they got us after that. And I think maybe had I put that travel insurance on Tyson, maybe it might have spooked him because he had been on the chopping block on the other side, I believe. I wasn't aware of that at the time, but yeah, I believe that he had to play an idol.
Yeah.
Before that as well. So maybe, I think the right call would have been to actually put it on him as opposed to Chappies. I just thought, okay, we had the Nesu and Centwini from their side. I just thought this was a foregone conclusion. So let me just take away the one person's vote who, you know, it wouldn't ruin any social capital for me moving forward because in my head, this is the individual going home.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I would love to hear from Tyson and I will be talking to Tyson and I will get his thoughts on how that would have triggered him, because I feel like they all kind of knew the plan through the double agents, right? They knew the Chappies was going to be the stolen vote. So it's like, if you're putting the vote on Tyson, I feel like there's other paths to that, which is like, are you also telling your alliance, including Inesu and Santini, who would then warn Tyson? Are you leaving them out of that decision, which would probably spook Tyson? Like, I feel like there are other layers to just where you necessarily steal a vote.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think just how organically the double agents were prepared to tell that other group, I get a feeling that they probably would have done the same had it been Tyson. Like, I know from my point of view, I was always going to share who I was planning to vote for and the fact that I had travel insurance with those guys because they also would have sent me there saying, well, listen, buddy, you know, we've been sending you. You must have some things for us, you know, surely. So I knew I was going to have to play that sort of those advantages, you know, cards faced up. I was going to be very transparent about what I was thinking with that advantage and, you know, sharing it with my alliance effectively.
Yeah, I think that's what gets lost in translation. I think it becomes like, do you play for Chappies or Tyson to spook him? But I think it's much more the scene behind that. It's like, do you tell your alliance and you tell the double agents, because that's really the thing. Like, the fact that they have all the information is really what's facilitating the plan. So yeah, if you were to make a move without kind of the consent of your alliance, which included double agents, then that probably would spook Tyson. If he didn't know it, that would spook all the double agents, but that would also require you to know the double agents and not give them information. Like, it's parts behind that, if you know what I'm saying, beyond just like putting it on a name.
Yeah, no, that's so very true. Like, and that's the beauty of this game is all those moving parts, and all the different sort of ways that it can play out depending on the decisions you make. But yeah, I definitely just I felt like regardless of, you know, who was the double agents and stuff, with my Zumba 6, so to speak, I felt like I had to at least share with them who I was going to vote, regardless of the name.
Yeah, that information would have flowed to them and then, yeah, probably beyond that. So I think it might have been a similar outcome. It's just Tyson might have heard from whatever channel through then that don't worry, like, they will be stealing your vote, but you're okay. Like, it seems unlikely that you would have been able to really spook him and he had no idea. If that's the case, like, you probably can, but it just seems completely unlikely that that would happen in that vote because, again, of the wheels within wheels of the double agency there. It's a tough vote for Zamba. You know, it's going to necessitate, I think, quite an active role for you in taking out a very close ally for you. Again, that relationship with Sean is so obvious to us in the final vote. And you are doing a lot of work there to sacrifice him. And I love that you spoke to that in your final tribal council, because in that podcast, like, we love the move. It was very, like, brutal, but, like, was so necessary, like, self-preservation. What were you doing here to sacrifice one of your best friends in the game?
Yeah, look, so I think myself and Amy, who, along with Sean, were working quite well with Centwini in Zumba 2.0, we kind of said, okay, listen, obviously this is the name that they've been throwing out. You know, Tyson, who I'd really had a strong relationship at the time, he said to me, actually, he was like, listen, you know, I think Kieran maybe be throwing your name, but like I got you. Like we're gonna go for Sean. We're gonna go for Sean. Santuni also then came to me and she was like, "Yeah, no, someone was throwing your name out, but you know, I saved you and stuff." But yeah, it effectively, like once our faction knew that the name was Sean, you know, like I think the girls were more than happy because they didn't necessarily have that strong of a relationship. Well, Amy did. Amy had, I think, quite a good relationship with Sean, but you know, after how much time they spent together, but. Yeah, I remember Amy sort of saying, listen, okay, so this is the name. We've kind of got to move forward now without him, which means we're going to need to sort of, you know, as much as we can, refix that or repair that relationship that we had with Santuni. So, you know, like, you know, the only part I had to play in that was sort of kind of telling Sean, listen, I'm going to need you to calm down, like sort of go and make peace with Santuni and try not be volatile Sean in this tribal council. You know, if we're going to get her to vote with us, we need her on our side type of thing. So that's
knowing he was going.
Yeah, that's sort of the conversation I had with him, knowing full well that, you know, I'd had this conversation with Tyson and Santuni where they were like in individual moments saying, we're going for Sean.
And there seemed to be a lot of, like, yeah, repair with Santuni. Like, how would it gotten so bad? Was it just that she was, like, so upset about the way she was treated after being the double agent? Because that's what we saw. And it was like, wow, this got, like, it seemed quite heated quite quickly.
Yeah, so with the whole Santuni thing, her frustration came from that. She felt that the girls were dismissive of her and not including her in the plans. And, you know, Marisha saying the sentiment of, oh, you can finish seventh or whatever. And that's why she made the vote that she made. And I think at the time, myself and Amy, who were working quite well with her at Zumba 2.0, we were just so frustrated at, you know, her sort of betraying our trust. You know, I completely understood why she made the decisions she made. I think at that time, though, we voiced our frustrations probably in not the correct way. Like you see, Amy was visibly upset about the fact that Santuni didn't, you know, sort of vote with us. And I shared a lot of the same sentiment, though it wasn't necessarily shown. So, you know, I had that conversation with Santuni where I was kind of just like, listen, it's cool, but like, you know, like I'll never be able to trust you again, you know? And I, again, big error on my part, like probably gave that sort of writing this person off kind of sentiment to her. Because I was like, yeah, no, listen, it's okay. It's cool. I get it. But like, I'll never be able to trust you again. I shared that sentiment, probably shouldn't have, but yeah, Amy very quickly, once, you know, we calmed down, said, you need to go and, you know, make amends there because we are going to need her.
Yeah, you can't do that with Santuni. Like, she was way too important. Yeah, and it became a bit of like a grovel off of like who could grovel best to Santuni after what had happened after that merge vote. And then it's going to be Tied Destinies, which is going to be so important to the story of the season, obviously with you and Nicole becoming Tied Destinies and getting all the way to the end. And you guys are going to lose Amy and Rania here, and we know how important they've been to you. So good and bad with this. Like, how are you seeing this in the moment?
So, you know, I think it's quite clear in that episode that I do every single thing in my power to keep them there. Like, you know, I go to Kieran and Tyson. I obviously set up my next few days when I say, listen, I would love for you guys to reconsider and maybe take out Chappies and Santuni, who are a bigger threat to you. But if not, I'm happy to move forward with you guys going forward. But yeah, I then take that conversation to them. And then through that, I get promised the final four or final three. I then take that conversation to the other faction of Anesu, Santuni and them. And I say, listen, these guys are making promises to me on the beach there. You guys knew, make a move. Like, this is just arrogance and stuff. And all of this really was because, again, these were the two people from day one I was playing this game with, at least from my point of view, you know? So They probably would have been playing or had their own alliances, but those were my two people, you know. So when I'd done everything and I exhausted every sort of thing that I could do to try and help, that was, I guess, me showing my loyalty to them. But then, like you said, the good part of that is that once that vote happened, I sort of started playing with the freedom, like, okay, well, now this is about me. There's no one that, like, I'm necessarily have this really strong emotional connection to, as to, like, you know, wanting to work with. I did feel like I had a bit more freedom to maneuver.
Yeah, it's good and bad because you lose them, but then it gives you and Nicole the power to become swing votes because you're the last two zombies left, and like you definitely get to this Vuna fracture where they turn on each other. What's the relationship with Nicole at this time? Because as you've said, you have like your strategic relationships and you had a nice friendship with her, but you guys are going to go to the end of the game together. You are, you know, together here in Tired Destinies. You become the last two zombies. Did it become a more strategic partnership in that time?
Yeah. Before Tired Destinies, it was, I would say, not that we were on opposite spectrums of the alliance, but like, her closest allies within the alliance probably were not mine and vice versa. And, you know, if you're lining them up, like, I think we would have been on the other side of that sort of that alliance, if you know what I mean. So, we had a really good friend relationship and, you know, just normal social conversation, but no strategy whatsoever. But like you say, you know, once we then became again in a minority of 6-2, it was imperative that we were on the same page. And that's where obviously our relationship grew and became stronger. But I think what really solidified it was in that vote where Kieran and Tyson sort of wanted to take her out, and that at the time just wasn't serving at least my game plan. That whole vote gets blown up. I'm sure we'll discuss it later on.
But 100%.
That whole vote kind of comes to light, and Kieran makes reference to the point that I was prepared to vote with them to take out Nicole. And after that, I kind of had to sit Nicole down and just say, listen, this is exactly how I've been playing the game. The very same speech I pretty much said at the end, I gave to her. I was like, the only two people I've been playing with was, you know, Amy and Rainier. And I played with her like cards faced up. And I think that really was the best approach to take with someone like Nicole. And after that, I think that's when our bond grew from like just a social to like now we strategic, we in this together till the end type of thing.
Yeah, well, we're going to see, you know, how important this is, where this is the vote where Inesu goes and you two are the swing votes. And it seems like you have different perspectives on how this should go. You want to go with Tyson and Kieran and Warda. The first part makes sense. The second part is like kind of like, you know, when you have like a friend of a friend who's always there and you're like, well, you know, but we're not friends, but we're, you know, our friends. Anyway, that probably was an issue. And she wants to go much more with the Inesu side. So how do you feel you were doing here? Because, again, it's something you credit in Final Tribal Council, and I totally agree. But how do you feel you were doing here in convincing her over to that side? And what was your perspective on working with that group through the next phase of the game?
So I think Igor probably also had a hand to play in this vote. Like, I was still quite frustrated that I gave Inesu and them every single chance to save my peoples, and they didn't. So I think I was more than happy after that to sort of say whatever I needed to say to Inesu, but I just couldn't see myself working with her. And it didn't take much convincing, to be honest, of Nicole. Like, you know, I pretty much just said to her, I was like, listen, I get a strong sense that this is the better route for us. Again, at the time, like I said, our bond wasn't that strong as what it is at the end. So I was more thinking like, well, I already know that Chappies and Kieran can see me as someone to go long term with. So I was more thinking from a selfish point of view than a me and her point of view, by wanting to go that way with Kieran and Tyson, because I was like, okay, well, this gives me more people that I can still work with type of thing. But yeah, it didn't really take much convincing. She was kind of like, she was happy to sort of trust my gut on this one. And yeah, I'm thankful that she did.
what were you seeing as like the next part of what you would do? Were you like very locked into Tyson and Kieran long term? Because things are going to kind of get out of hand to the point where neither you or Nicole have a vote in the next tribal council. She went to Immunity Island. You get sent out of the tribal council. So it's hard to kind of know how things would have gone if there wasn't like, again, like a lot of kind of mechanisms blocking up this end game. But what were you kind of seeing your like short to midterm plans here?
Yeah, so like you say, it's always difficult to kind of gauge and stuff. So I hope I'm not speaking out of term here, but like I had a very good feeling that that they were ready to sever that tie with Wada and move forward with me. So, you know, I was actually quite frustrated at the fact that I was sent away because I just wanted. Honestly, I wanted the satisfaction of writing Wada's name one final time. I knew that that's where Centurini and Chappies and them were going, and I was on board with them to do that. And also, because of how close I was with Kieran and Tyson at the time, I sort of, you know, shared that sentiment with them. And I'm sure they would have heard it from other people. I'm not saying I'm the only one who told them, but like I told them that, like, listen, this is who they're going for right now. And I think they were also kind of just like, yeah, you know what, this is maybe just our journeys together have come at like a mutual ending and a mutual parting of ways. So yeah, for me, I was happy that I was saved by Chappies. I snooped in his bag, so I knew exactly what he had and everything. I was happy that he saved me. But yeah, I would have loved to have written Wada's name down, to be honest. That's sort of where I saw it going. I think that had I not been saved, I probably would have worked with Chappies, Nicole and Centurini to vote against Wada, and that's probably what I would have done had I not been saved.
Take out Wada, but then go back to Kieran and Tyson. Would that have been the way you wanted to go? Yeah,
100%.
With the League of Shadows, which is what we're going to get.
Yeah,
when this happens. But it's not just a tribal council that you're sent out of. Like, you come for the main show, you miss the vote, but you're there for a lot of it. And I need to get like your front row seat. The experience of the fiasco that was, I mean, you go to the auction, get some lovely tapas, you know, it's a nice day, wonderful day, but then all hell breaks loose, as you're saying, like, you've looked in his bag, Chappie's bag, you know that they're sweets, Chappie's diner, we're hearing all these conversations, and then it becomes like a court of law. I need your perspective on this.
No, it was, yes, if I've ever seen a more volatile, like, yes, that was intense. Eh? Obviously, working with Wada, Tyson and Kieran, we thought to snoop in Chappie's bag because he was so confident. His whole sort of sell to bring me and Nicole over was, I'm not going anywhere today, just so you know. So, you know, when he was speaking with that much confidence before having won any sort of idol immunity, we thought, okay, let's dig in his bag. So I dug in his bag there. Looked into his jacket. We obviously saw that he had this thing, which at the time we thought he was going to play for himself. And I helped myself to like half of his sweets, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it was just so funny seeing him like looking for contraband, which is not supposed to be there. So he couldn't really be upset, you know, like couldn't outwardly say who stole my sweets. that was just a little bit of fun there.
That's the perfect crime. That's true. Stealing something that's already stolen. It's like you can't go to the police because they would incriminate themselves. They can't go to production. It's brilliant.
Exactly. And that's how that was going to go down. And later on in the day, once Wada knew it was her that they were coming for, you know, I knew that she was, like, I was obviously aware, having been working with them, that she was doing this whole thing of, like, hiding rice or this and that. So, you know, when I then had those conversations with Centurini and Chappies, and I'm not taking credit for being the ones to tell them or anything, but, you know, that sort of came back to their ears that Wada was doing this. I was also more than happy to help in whatever way I could to get that rice out of her bag. So you don't really see me in frame, but when Chappie's just like digging in her bag behind her, I think Centurini was was just next to her, and I was actually chatting to her, you know, who she was looking straight into, like, you know, in the eyes type of thing. And behind her, all of this is happening. And like, for me as well, it was just like, there's no way, like, we're going to let this lady take the rice, you know? Yeah, I just did not see that happening. And then, yeah, then we get to tribal council. And if you've ever seen like two people lock eyes and like this death stare competition, I mean, you could just feel the tension. Like you could cut the tension with a knife, honestly. Nico probably, I don't know how long he would have taken to ask his first question, you know, after we walk in, but they were just them two looking at each other with daggers. And I was just like, yeah, it's about to go down here. And it did. Yes, it really did. I try to keep quiet about it.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good move.
Just sit back and enjoy. But yeah, I think Nico also shepherded that conversation well and sort of bring out the like we all at fault, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get your objective in that the ally that's working with your allies, the friend of your friend, is taken out. And then you can consolidate this like League of Shadows thing with Kieran and Tyson. And was that your plan at that time, that you wanted to go to the final three with Kieran and Tyson?
So that was the sentiment that they were sharing. And as much as I really, really liked and appreciate that sentiment, I was just like, guys, I wasn't born yesterday. Like, you two are arguably like the strongest players, you know. Kieran, a massive social threat. At the time, obviously, based on what I was seeing, I sort of viewed him as a big social threat. You know, when I watched the show back now from the fans' point of view, you see how decisive he was and how strategic he was as well. And then Tyson, who I thought was the more strategic one of the two at the time, he had also was like such a threat in the sense that he was just maneuvering himself so well, the fact that he's played the two idols and everything. So I was just like, yes, you know, this is all great and well that, like, you know, I'm being fed the story of let's make it to the final three. And I genuinely believe that they meant that, but that was never going to really sit well with me, which is why I battled so hard to keep Nicole, because, you know, like for me, or at least from my point of view, I had a feeling that I would be a lot better off sitting next to Nicole than any one of them two in the finale, which we come to see was not the case at all. I mean, she pretty much whitewashed me, but, you know, at the time, because our games were quite similar in terms of us being social, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is someone that I might be able to sort of beat out in the end if I, you know, sort of express that maybe the decisions that we were making as a two were more from my end type of thing. I never saw myself going all the way to the end with Kieran and Tyson, particularly not Kieran, again, being a very social threat. Tyson, maybe because our games were quite contrasting, I thought maybe that could have maybe been someone, but yeah, that whole final three thing, yeah, wasn't going to sit well with me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the plan of going with Nicole. Like, yes, you are going to end up losing to her, but I feel like even, you know, we'll talk to the jurors, and speaking to Chappies last night, like, the jurors went in very open to that fight, and there was definitely options there. So I definitely see the plan. I'm going to have to talk about this final six vote, because, like, a million things happen in it. But before that even happens, your brother comes out, it's the loved ones challenge. And does that affect your game in any way? Like, seeing your brother, does it kind of like remind you what you're playing for or kind of consolidate anything? Or it's just like a lovely moment in plans you already had?
Oh, you know, to be honest, I made reference to this when I did TNO last night. And I also spoke, you know, I've told this to Fez. I don't blame anyone but myself for the stupidity that I had, you know, in that whole vote. However, I think, again, from a lack of know-how, I probably chose the wrong person to see in that time, because that far in the game, like, you need someone that you can, like, my head is only in the game. And I think he tried to take me, like, sort of out of it. So every single time I would speak to him about the game, like, listen, I'm thinking of blindsiding Kieran. What do you think I should do? Like, do you think this is good? you know, it was always kind of just like a, bro, let's not talk about that right now. Like, you know, let's just enjoy the company. You know, Liverpool's doing well. Right now they're on the top of the league. So, you know, I think had I maybe been with someone who was a big fan of the game, or invited someone who would have been able to talk strategy with me, I think maybe that would have helped me being a little bit more decisive. But again, like I said, I don't blame anyone but myself. Like, I take full blame for what I did there, because I think the biggest thing was the minute they sort of started changing how the votes was going to happen, and they wanted to put two thens, which mathematically made a lot of sense. I just couldn't look beyond like my own frustration and ego towards it. I was just like, no, this is not, are they changing something that was so easy? But that was because of how tight my bond was at the time with Kieran and Tyson. I knew for a fact that, like, you know, we felt like we were in the driver's seat. So I didn't think that it needed to be that elaborate to get the job done. So when they were changing it, it just frustrated me. And then I go and do the most basic rookie error, and not only tell Kieran that they're gunning for him, but then I also tell him that I was the one who orchestrated it, which is just ludicrous. Watching it back was, I was just like, I almost threw the remotes at myself, you know, on the telly. But yeah.
You were like a supervillain in like superhero movies that is like telling the whole plan, and you're like, why are you doing that? Like, the story's not over. Stop telling. This is for the deep dive. It's not what you tell him in the moment. So much here. I mean, firstly, on the loved one stuff, like, I accept. Next time you're out there, I will come for you instead. I'll keep you on track. Someone who can coach you. I'll be like, look, if you're going to turn on Kieran, don't tell him. That's what I'll say. But you'll need to teach me how to do the ski. I can't bring that. Yeah, I can't do it.
S-K-E-E and then W-E-E. So ski-wee.
Ski-wee. Ski-wee.
Ski-wee. That's the one.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
I must say, like, just having listened to your guys' podcast and the other ones, I honestly think that as far as by way of studying and preparing for the game, that these are actually good reference points and study notes, like the podcast and stuff, because you guys go into such depth that, you know, like I think that it would help anyone, like, if they were preparing or about to go on the show, probably a little bit more than also just watching the show. Because, yeah, like you said, you know, if you have someone with the experience like yourself in a family visit, I think I would have got out of that conversation what I probably needed at that time. You know what I mean?
And yet I've never been asked, never once, to be anyone's loved one on any family visit.
Get to run it back, you get the spot.
Look, I appreciate that. I do. I'll come out to South Africa. It'll be really fun. I hope that this happens. It's now a binding contract, but there's so much going on in this vote, because as I said at the time, it was like, it really was for a while, like, the best move of the season that you were making. And then it gets reversed. So, like, let's focus on the positives. Like, as you said, you want to keep Nicole because you're seeing your pathway with her to the end. Was there more to that? Like, we hear a little bit of it, the resume stuff, it being on Kieran's resume and not yours. We hear about him kind of putting his individual needs above the League of Shadows. So you wanting to do the same. What else in your thought process was there? Or was it, you know, those are all some pretty good reasons. So was it all of that?
Yeah, for me, like, the person that I felt needed to go that particular vote was effectively Santoni. And they were so certain that Nicole, who, like, I mean, I'm motivated so many times, like, what threat does she pose to anyone's game right now? And, you know, when I couldn't get a clear explanation as to why she was needed to be the one to go, I don't know. I thought that's when I kind of thought, okay, it's maybe Kieran just testing my loyalties to them, you know, like, they wanted to see that I'm genuinely for them and that I've severed all my ties with the original Zambas. I don't know, but it just didn't sit well with me. So, you know, I agreed, and, you know, at face value. And then that's when I then started going off to the other side and saying, okay, we need to go for Kieran, which didn't take much convincing at all, especially once, you know, I mean, Santoni, I told her that, maybe they were looking at going at her. I don't know what I'd said, but it didn't take much convincing to make them go for Kieran. And it was all going fine. And then, like, sort of, just before tribal council, like, I think Kieran shares this sentiment that that they didn't have enough time to maneuver after I told them everything at the end. But, you know, it was also quite late in the day when I then got all this information from the likes of Nicole and Santuini that, okay, we're going to do two votes there and two there and 6 + 7 = 25.
I mean, it's 2, 2, and 2, Smash. Like, I have to advocate for Santuini's plan. Yeah, like, you're a math teacher. Like, it's not that hard.
I'll tell you, like I said, I 100% agree. Like, on paper, everything that they said made so much sense. Like, but I was just so frustrated. And again, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't that element of, you know, me now looking like this, now not looking like my plan anymore. You know, there was a big feeling of that. So like, I was just frustrated. I was just like, why are we overcomplicating this? And I wasn't able to I should have swallowed my pride, kept quiet, and just let it happen as it was meant to happen, which was probably the safer way it was meant to happen, because you know, we do it that way, regardless of if he plays as idol or not. One of the two of them are going home. So yeah, I put my hand up there. It was a huge, huge misstep. Probably, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Survivor, but yeah, that's one of the bigger blunders in the little that I have watched. It was a very big blunder.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's up there. And I love the way on social media after that you were like totally copying it and like making fun of yourself in that. Because it was just like such a stark contrast. Like, that whole episode is such a roller coaster, to the point where like pretty much everyone's name comes up in that 6. And I feel like we missed parts of it that have been spoken about in exits, and Chappie's kind of spoke about it as well, where like, so you go back to Kieran, you tell him what happened, you want to go kind of back to A plan, Z plan, like you're coming back to Kieran and pitching what, Nicole now or Santuini, or what's the plan here?
I pretty much just say, listen, guys, I've made a mistake. I'm willing to work with you guys now. And not only am I willing to work with you guys, but I am going to vote with whoever you guys want to vote for, which obviously, based on the last conversations we would have had, was Nicole.
Yeah.
And I think Kieran does well to sort of, when he does eventually throw me under the bus and tribal council, to let Nicole know that I was prepared to vote her off, which wasn't actually the sentiments, you know. Like, I mean, I did fight for her to not be the name, and they knew that Santuini was the person I initially wanted. But yeah, I pretty much, when the groveling starts, I pretty much just said, guys, only thing I can show you that, you know, like, you can trust me is that I'm going to vote with you guys, type of thing. That's sort of the conversation I had with them. And then, and you know, it just as everything sort of started unfolding at Tribal Council, which was very volatile as well, I think the thing that sort of played into my hands nicely was that I just owned everything. Like, every single time Kieran had a dig at me, you know, he was trying to build the resume. I said, you know, you're probably right. He was, ego got in the way. And I said, you're probably right. This and that, you're probably right. And then for some reason, I don't know why, but Santuini started sort of having a go at Kieran, because Kieran was having a go at me. So she was kind of like saying, you talk about like trust and everything, but you are going to betray me. And then thankfully, the sort of guns turned on, they turned on each other, you know, Santuini and Kieran. So, you know, I think that's probably how I survived that vote, because had that not happened, I think, you know, from Kieran and Tyson's point of view, I think that they probably would have won and me gone.
So you went into that tribal council going back to Kieran and Tyson, being okay with it being Nicole, and then when it all shifted to Santuini, you were okay to hop on with that with Kieran and Tyson, with an even better target, the person you had wanted out originally. And so those were your two kind of targets since you went back to Kieran and Tyson.
I was more than happy to work with them to get Santuini out, because like I said, that's who I'd wanted out from the jump. You know, I'd always maintained that, like, Which is, by the way, why I really do respect Santuini's game, regardless of what is discussed here, like, or maybe what the public might think. Like, I love Santuini's game, but I always maintain that myself and her were sort of doing the same thing or positioning ourselves similarly. I was just cracking less eggshells in the way I was doing it. And yeah, that's why I'm not surprised at all that she went as far as she did. But for me, that was the person I think needed to go at that time.
Yeah. Well, you got your way. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but you did get out the person that you wanted. So that worked out. And then you're going to come back and it's going to, you know, Chappies is going to be winning immunities. It's going to go back onto Kieran and Tyson, like the League of Shadows is done. How are you coming back and working now with Nicole and Chappies, who you betrayed in your own plan? You know, there's a lot there with Chappies and the reward and some of like the Chappies diner stuff that you and Kieran are kind of discovering. So how are you kind of maneuvering socially through and after that chaotic vote?
So for me, first things was to mend the relationship with Nicole. That was for me of the utmost importance because, I feel like there wasn't obviously an opportunity for me to sort of save myself in terms of when it was being brought out that, like, you know, I was prepared to vote with them to vote her out. You know, it was sort of kind of like I was the one that wanted her out type of thing. But I didn't think that was the right place and time to sort of get on the defensive. So the very first step was, okay, mend this relationship. And then, like I said, you know, earlier on in the conversation, I pretty much told her from the jump how I've been playing this game and how I want to move forward going forward. And I was like, listen, I'm playing cards face up with you. This is what I've done. This is how I'm going to be moving. You do with that what you want. And that's when our relationship, like, I think, went to the next level. And then with regards to Kieran and Tyson, unfortunately, just the way that Kieran had gone, like, had a go at me, I think he felt that he had probably destroyed that relationship beyond repair. And to be honest, I think at the time I also felt like I did, you know, I was like, if there's any two people that I'm certainly would not get a vote from come final tribal council, it's Tyson and Kieran. I had that feeling going into the tribal council. I had that feeling certainly during the tribal council, it was just escalated. But yeah, even after when we sort of calmed back down and, you know, it was like, okay, cool, thanks for that, we all voted the same way. I think from both ends of the spectrum, we just knew it was like irreparable at that moment.
Yeah, it was a lot to go through. I mean, you and Nicole are like swing votes now again, except the Chappies has won immunity. So, you know, it makes the swing pretty much one-sided. But like in a different world where, say, you have immunity or Nicole has immunity and Tyson and Kieran and Chappies are all available to be voted for, would you have still gone for Kieran? Would you have still broken up that pair? Or would you have taken out Chappies, who was on a bit of a run?
Such a good question. But I like to think that myself in that headspace at the time would have said Chappies, because for me, I always viewed him as the strongest threat. You know, and I think we were all sort of singing in on this from the same hymn sheet. Like, it was a general consensus of like, okay, guys, we know what the objective is. Yeah, like we will join forces to sort of get this guy out. But if that isn't the case, then, you know, unfortunately, that's just going to be the way the cookie crumbles. Myself and Nicole were more than happy to sort of, had we won or had either of us won immunity or Tyson or Kieran, probably votes with them to take Chappies out. I think everyone was just recognizing how strong Chappies' game was. So yeah, I think had he been safe at any point, I think at any point from top six downwards, I think he would have been the one to go.
Right. And obviously we see a lot of the assumption that Chappies had that this was a final three. We don't really get it as much from everyone else. Like, were you also thinking this was going to be a final three?
So, I mean, I did, only because I didn't know too many different iterations of the game and that it could be final two. So, like, I mean, I saw last season it was a final three.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the American one that I would have watched as final practice three, and stuff.
Yeah, with Russell. Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, so this is it. I honestly thought it was done as well. I don't know. I didn't fancy my chances sitting next to him. I did more so with Nicole there. But yeah, once it got to that point, which I don't know how I survived that final four vote either, because, you know, Tyson and Nicole both had an opportunity to sort of change their minds on the dime at that last minute there, and that could have been me gone, but thankfully they didn't.
So Tyson has credited you a lot in the fact that he doesn't vote for you. And if he had done that and you two had voted for him, you would have been going to fire against Tyson. So that wouldn't have been great. And he said that he just like, he trusted you a lot. He hoped that you would vote Nicole. Like, what were those conversations happening before tribal council that was enough for Tyson to place the bet on you rather than Chappies, who was like actively telling him, I'm going to vote with you and like vote for Smash and we will be a two.
So I'm not too sure what Chappies would have heard like from Inesio. Obviously we got the insights of it watching it as fans, but you know, after that sort of that conversation and stuff, the tune had kind of changed a bit. So he had said to Tyson, listen, I'm thinking of voting out Tanela. This was before tribal council, really. Yeah. And then I catch wind of that. I think Tyson might have been the one that tells me or something. And I go speak to Chappies. So I said to Chappies, I'm like, you know, you're telling him that you're voting for me. It's obviously not to spook him, right? And, you know, he plays it off. He laughs it off with me. I think he could have genuinely have been joking with Tyson or maybe not and being serious with Tyson. But I immediately go back to Tyson and I tell him, like, listen, this guy's taking you for a fool. Like, you know, he just told me now that he's just joking. You know, he has no intentions at all of, like, voting with you type of thing, which again might not have been the case. You know, maybe Chappies was just saying this so that I didn't, you know, panic or anything. But I think that conversation that I had with Tyson, where I told him, like, listen, this guy's taking you for Popeye, I wasn't lying to him, because that's literally what Chappies had said to me, maybe trying to downplay.
No, it seems that he was actually lying to Tyson based on what he said to me.
So was he actually lying to Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, and that's the sense that I got. So I told that to Tyson, and I think that obviously stuck with Tyson, because then once he then obviously got that opportunity to vote for me, he was just like, ugh, this guy's playing me for a fool.
Yeah. So you were doing some stuff there to save yourself for sure. because that connection that you had with Tyson, like that more, having more trust in you than Chappies, where you had also continued to just drive the wedge in that distrust between them, like that, I think, was one of the key elements that means you don't have to even go to fire in that tribal council and pull off like a very cool 2-1-1 with Nicole, which, you know, I don't know if you know, because I don't know if Nicole's seen a lot of Survivor, but between the two of you, like 2-1-1s are like rare and historic. So it was cool that got it done. They've never, ever happened in US Survivor ever. And this is the first in Survivor South Africa. There's been a couple in Australian Survivor and one in Survivor New Zealand. So it's like a global, very historic thing that you guys are pulling off, which is cool. But so you're going to get to this final three and Nicole will pick you. And we saw these two kind of approaches where like Chappies is really like hitting her hard, like all the like trying manipulation and like, you know, talking about the jury and stuff. And you kind of come with a softer approach. Do you credit yourself still in that? Like she said, like it was very strategic and I'm sure like her agency very much exists there, but like, where do you see your role in kind of bringing her to that side so that to make sure you get to a final two?
I think by that point, like I'd sort of known like what sort of way to play Nicole, you know, and like I said, you know, previously of like playing cards faced up, you know, this is someone who really values like loyalty and honesty and everything. So for me, I knew exactly what I was doing when I said to her, I mean, I say to her, I want you to know, regardless of whichever way you vote, you've got my votes because we've been tied together. Like, you know, for me to go and say, I don't mind, I'm effectively saying, you vote me out, you've got my vote, which sounds ludicrous, but I knew that that was sort of the play that needed to happen for, you know, to get her over. And then that was that. And then I left it at that. Like, I really didn't punt her about it at all. I'd just rather let, you know, Chappies, you know, have his conversation and his conversation. And I was like hoping that that one conversation that we did have was going to be strong enough to see me through, you know?
Mm. Would you have voted for her had she taken Chappies? Was that true?
Shucks. I don't know. Hey, it's so hard to say, but like, I feel like me as a jury, I would like to think that I would have been an objective juror. And as from an objective juror, I think if Chappies would have explained his game, I don't see how he loses this. I don't see how he doesn't win, you know?
Mm.
As particularly because there was all these other elements to it that we didn't know about, you know, just how the lengths that he was prepared to go to survive and stuff. Like, I have a hell of a lot of respect for it. I've always maintained to, when anyone asks me, or, you know, in the podcast, if there's one person, like, or if there's anyone I was rooting for, if I just remove myself as a contender and if I'm rooting for someone from a fan's point of view, it was Chappies. Like, yeah. So,
yeah,
I think if I'm thinking like that, Jura Smash probably would have also been very objective to hearing out what they both had to say. But I don't know that I would have necessarily voted for Nicole, but I knew that that was the right thing to say at the time.
Mm. So you're going to go into this final tribal council, which, you know, we see, I think, some of it. I was interested to know if there was, like, more to it, because, like, there was a lot, like, like, watching the post-game content, like, you seem a little traumatized. Like, you're in the car with Nicole and she's like, that was a rough night for you. And, like, you're kind of there, like, it was a tough night for me, you know, and, like, when you're, like, eating your food and, like, we didn't see it be that tough. Like, Santini was definitely coming for you, which we can talk about, but I don't know if we saw it, like, as heated as you guys. And, like, you seem to know that it's done, and Nicole seems to think that she's won. And when I watched the edited version, like, I didn't get that extreme sense that she had won. So was it worse than we saw?
Oh, no, listen, it was brutal. It was brutal. I mean, again, maybe it was from a lack of know and understanding of the game. First and foremost, I went into that tribal council thinking, this is where you elaborate on your game, you know? This is when I tell you, like, I tell the jury that this is how I believe I got here to the finale. So already when, you know, Rania had asked us to contrast our games, and we started having to go at each other, and she started bringing the whole narrative of, I brought him here. Like, I wasn't even prepared for that. Like, I didn't even know that, you know, we're going to be going at each other like that type of thing. First thing, that was the first thing that, like, sort of kind of got me a bit frazzled. Then, like, when it came down to sort of explaining my game, I think you get that sense from what Anesu sort of asked, which is, like, you know, were you making moves intentionally or just making them just for just, you know? When it came to, like, sort of explaining what my game was, I had an overwhelming feeling of, like, you know, people sort of, like, giving me their points of views, which also made me frazzled. So for example, I said, you know, it wasn't by luck that I made it to merge, because we were in a minority. I got saved, you know, by my alliance, but that was based on the relationships that I built. And then, like, you know, Marisha would be like, no, but we did that for our benefit, not for yours, you know? And then, like, someone else would say, like if I was talking about my motivations for the Nesu vote, and then someone else would say, no, but that wasn't your thing. That was me doing this, and that. And for me, like, there was a lot of sort of that coming happening. And I eventually actually even said, I was like, listen, like, I mean, I thought this was an opportunity to give you guys my point of view. So I can only tell you based on how I optically saw the game happening. I'm not taking away from what you guys did, but this is how I saw the game. And at least this is how I was playing it in my head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our reason for voting for someone can be completely different, regardless of the fact that we're voting together for someone, you know? So I think there was a feeling of, like, okay, maybe people thought, okay, he's either trying to claim, like, stuff that he didn't really do, or he's just not articulating his contribution that well, which is fair. Like, I get that, but I definitely got frazzled, because almost all the times when I was trying to explain sort of where or why I did what I did, you know, like, someone would then chime in and say, no, but this is why this happened, not because of that. And I was like, guys, I mean, you can't be, like, that certain that, you know, like, that that's the way it happened. Like I took nothing away from the fact that that's how they saw the game happening. But from my point of view, my motivations for making those moves were completely different to yours. And yeah, I then got caught up in sort of trying to explain that and, you know, lost sight of what we are there to sort of discuss type of thing. So it was brutal. Like, she wiped the floor with me, I'll be very honest. And kudos to her. Like, you know, I think momentum, in, you talk about sports and stuff and rugby, like momentum in games is huge. And if you look at like the momentum that she sort of had from Tide Destinies going into that final tribal councils, chalk and cheese to mine, you know, and, and I think that that translates in the votes, and it also translates in the that final tribal council.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about that was really positive about your game, it was like stuff you articulated. It was going through a much harder pre-merge where you're on like these losing tribes and she's not going to as many tribal councils. It's, you know, having to rally a little bit more at the Sean vote or things that happened further away. Then you're working a lot more together. So like, how are you standing out in the late, late game? She's standing out by like this last challenge win, like taking you through like really positive, like affirmative things. And like you had had a negative individual thing in the final six. You know, so like, if you look at like recency bias in terms of like where your good and bad was, like yours was more, you know, before, and that maybe like gets forgotten a little bit more than the later stuff.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah. Do you look back at like, what do you think are like high points? Because again, like we were saying on the podcast, like we didn't think that you did particularly badly. Like I think you spoke to most of the great moves that you'd made. It could have gone maybe in a different direction, as you're saying. Like, I don't know. It seems like the jury came in a little bit mad, but like, you know, maybe you came in talking it up too much, but like we thought you spoke out about like good points. Like, do you see any like real big highlights of your speech and of the answers you were giving?
Do I see? I think outlining sort of how I viewed like my way of getting to the end. So I think a high point was me saying, okay, at any one given time, I was playing with two people. And I had a third Mercurial player that I was using to shield me, you know.
You really taught a lot of people that word, I'm sure.
What, Mercurial?
Mercurial, yeah. Like, I don't know if that I've ever used the word Mercurial, and I love the English language.
Yeah, no, I actually heard that because Robbie Dean, the former Australian coach, used to regard Quade Cooper as Mercurial. So that's actually how I heard the phrase. But, yeah, I mean, I think that set the tone off pretty well. And I think people could clearly see exactly what I was talking about. I explained it from start to finish. I explained the two that I was working with at any one given time. I explained the Mercurial play at any one given time. And that had good clarity in it. That was, I think, the one high point of my final speech. But yeah, then the waters got muddied up a bit when it came to sort of expressing what hand we had to play in votes and decisions and everything, which again, I mean, I get where they're coming from, but again, like it speaks to good sort of, I believe at least, that it speaks to good social gameplay that, you know, if you're finding yourself in a minority 3 versus 6, minority 2 versus 6, you're not probably going to be the one that's putting your hand up to be making all the decisions, because you got to fight from the bottom, you know, type of thing. So I think like naturally I was put into a position where I did have to be a passive individual in the way voting was happening. But it didn't mean that I didn't have a part to play, you know, like the fact that Kieran at some point said, Adnil is a threat, we need to take him home. The fact that Chappies wanted to take me out just before, like that for me sort of says something, and that's why I kind of feel like, you know, these guys, they played with me at one given point. They would have played with me at one given point. I played against them, you know, so, you know, like they surely know that I've been playing this game, and regardless of whether I articulated myself right or not, like these guys would have known that I was jamming this game from day one, you know, because I had to be because of the minorities. So yeah, it was a difficult pill to swallow, to not to take the loss. The loss, I understand, like Nicole was an absolute beast of a character and of like a contestant in this season. I mean, the only one to take on Chappies in that swimming challenge. She did really well as well in all the endurance challenges. But yeah, to have received one vote, that was a bit like, that for me was like a bit of a shock because there were so many people on that jury that I played with throughout the course of that game type of thing. You know?
I mean, it was shocking from a viewer perspective, especially like some of those votes as well, like someone like Rainier. It was really surprising. Yeah. I mean, I guess I would ask, like, do you feel like, how did you engage with some of the mistakes that we've spoken about on the podcast? Like obviously the Kieran attempted blind side and then non-blind side. And then, you know, like something's happening like with, okay, like Zumba at the merge, like, you know, we're not saying it was like a perfect game. So did you come in there kind of like papering over that? Do you feel like you were kind of, we see you even say like, I botched that like in passing, but were you engaging with that? Were they really like holding your feet to the fire with that as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, I owned a lot of that. And it was one of the key sort of discussions, you know, talking about that Kieran vote in particular. And I owned it, and I don't know if maybe having owned it and having already owned it in the tribal council prior, like when it actually did happen, it was something that wasn't discussed for too long type of thing, you know. When it was brought up, I just sort of put my hand up. I said, listen, I made a very bad judgment call, but, you know, making a mistake and sort of being able to recover from that sort of a position and still get you, again, speaks to a good sort of social game. And I did try to drive that point home, but I obviously evidently didn't do that well enough.
Yeah, it's a hard one because I think it's like it's a hard game to articulate. It's like, yeah, it is an active game. Like, I wouldn't say it's a passive game. Like, you were doing things like, you know, you were sending Chappies on a wild goose chase. Like, there was things going on, but it might have been like sometimes in smaller moves, like the kind of move of having a role in sacrificing Sean. Like, it's not necessarily as flashy sometimes, but it's there. Sometimes it goes wrong, which is unfortunate, but like there's an attempt made. That's a really hard game to kind of sell to the jury, where I feel like Nicole did have clarity in like, this is the game that I'm selling, but maybe you had like a more complex game to try and pitch and make sense of.
Yes, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you're going to, you know, move on from that off the island, and like, let's kind of sum up the month since, because, you know, you don't know if you've won or lost. You're going to watch it back, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It seems like in your Jury Villa videos, it was like post-game content, it wasn't Jury Villa, but like then and now, you seem like it's unlikely that you've won. What's your mindset through the last few months of the whole journey until you get to finale night?
Yeah, I think that sort of sentiment of like, I don't think that I've won, it carried through for much of like this whole time since we've been waiting. But then was just sort of further like pressed once we did get to that Kieran vote, you know, like it just sort of reminded me even more so, like, oh, you know, there's probably no chance. So to be really honest, I didn't have many expectations, but I never like to sort of, I tried as best as I can to always keep a stoic mindset. So I never said it out loud, you know, I gave myself every chance of getting through this. And particularly when I saw, you know, how that final tribal council was displayed, I said, okay, well maybe I might be in with the shot here, you know? I never really was expecting to be the winner, but I also never, like, that was something that I had to deal with internally myself, which was difficult, I'll be honest. Like, you know, like sort of going through that, you know, the reliving that whole thing and sort of like, I don't think I'm going to win, you know, and not also being able to sort of share with anyone because you can't really tell anyone where you are or how far you make it and anything. So it was a difficult period to sort of go through on my own. But yeah, like I said, once that final votes were read out and everything, I felt a huge sort of sigh of relief where it's like, okay, you know, the game's done now. You've played, you know, you've had a great experience with it. You can be very proud of where you've landed. And to be honest, like the way that I was portrayed in that game, in the season, particularly with, like, in terms of my level of input within decision making. It made sense to me now, based on the votes that were shown. You know what I mean? Because it was something I was struggling with, you know, before that. Like, why am I seen to be this way then and not that way, type of thing. But again, like, I think it was just so beautifully, like, drafted and so beautifully done and everything. So kudos and shout out to Afrikaans. But yeah, as soon as that final vote was read out, it was just like a sigh of relief. Yeah.
Yeah. And then since then, like, we spoke about it a little bit at the beginning of the podcast, but, like, I think, or we talked about it before the podcast. I don't know. It's been a long couple of hours. We've gone through your entire game, but, like, those, you know, how long's it been? It's a couple of weeks since you guys filmed the reunion. And you know, not getting necessarily all the votes you would have expected and, like, moving forward with it. Like, where are you at with all of that?
I'm okay with that as well. You know, I respect that every jury member or every juror would have made a impartial vote and an objective vote. So I respect the vote that they've made, and I'm at peace with that 100%. I think it was such a great cast, and you know, I have a lot of time and a lot of love for every single person that played and was a part of this season. So yeah, I'm at peace with that. I'm happy with just having been part of this season. So yeah, pretty good right now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, that's a good way to end it off. I think that you know, you had the vision board, you manifested it, and you got pretty damn close. Like, people can manifest a lot of things, but not all of them are going to manifest getting on the show, getting to day 39. Like, that's a pretty good job from the vision board.
Yeah, it was a good effort. And already, as soon as I arrived back home after obviously doing the finale, I wrote there, I have to run it back and I have to win it again. So I've already started manifesting, hopefully being called to come back if there's, like, a redemption season.
And I will be your loved one. Put that on the board as well.
Of course. It's going right there, Shan. 100%.
We planned it all. Now I will be practicing my ski-wee. Ski-wee? I'm sorry.
No, we've got this.
It should be better. But Smash, I really appreciate you coming on to talk about your whole game, answering some questions and really going through, you know, every move that was made. Where can people find you on social media to follow more of your journey for the eventual redemption tour and just, you know, in your life beyond that?
Yeah, so my handle is the same on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's Mr. Anela Majorzi, all small caps. This sort of kind of came to me, but was approached to sort of maybe look into sports broadcasting and journalism. So,
nice.
I thought, you know, the best way to maybe start that would be to maybe do a podcast of my own first, and at least sort of learn the nuances of, sort of, you know, speaking with people and everything. So yeah, be on the lookout. There will be a Smash podcast coming out soon. Just going to talk about all things related to life and everything, not just sports or anything like that. But yeah, that's pretty much me right now.
Very exciting. Yeah, I feel like that sounds like an awesome idea. It makes a lot of sense. You can keep teaching people cool words like mercurial, and we'll all learn a lot from that. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me in the call today. It's been such a lack of art to talk to you guys, to talk to you. And I'm, like, such a huge fan of the show. You've definitely got my loved ones if I ever ran. 100%. So yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This is how you do it. You ask someone on a podcast and then they feel pressured and then there's, like, nothing that they can do. That's the trick. But no, it was great to have you on. It was great to talk about your game. We have so much coverage happening. For everyone listening, follow me at Shannon Gates, follow Mike at A Mike Bloom Type to get all our content. Subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap-Ups feed. Also, fun fact, did you know that the reality TV Wrap-Ups feed is on Spotify? Because I did not know that until yesterday. So if you want to listen to this on Spotify, it is there under the reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. We've got deep dives out and coming out. We had Nicole, Mike's chat with Nicole. We're going to have Chappies out before this is out. And then we have this chat. Then to come Tyson, Kieran, Santini, and Anesu, Australian Survivor, the recap there, and a couple of deep dives are out. Obviously, check out our Survivor South Africa finale recap if you haven't already. And then Survivor 41 is happening, and I'm going to have someone mentioned on this podcast a few times as my first guest to talk about the premiere episode. It's going to be Dino, who will be my first guest on the recap. So a lot going on. But again, thank you so much, Smash, for talking through the game. I had a really great time, and I feel like I've got so much insight into the way you played.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks again for having me, hey?
Yeah, it was a good time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you again, Smash. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I will say ski-wee and see you next time. Until next time, keep evolving. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the
Swamalais.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
1 million rubles.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe top there.
Ship.
Tribe
spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.